July 25th, 2016, the 19th of Tammuz, Tavshinayin Vav, and we are Halacha Day of Perek Memches. So Perek Memches brings about the halachos of Birchas Habanim. The idea of blessing one's children comes from this perek. The statement is actually mentioned somewhat explicitly within the text itself, that Yaakov says, where is it? That he gave them a brach on that day, saying, "Becha, by you, Yivarech Yisrael lemor." They should bless Yisrael, saying, "Yisimcha Elokim keEfraim uMenashe." May Hashem make you like Ephraim and Menashe. V'yasim es Ephraim lifnei Menashe. And he placed Ephraim before Menashe. So that sounds like from the bracha. So too should be the bracha, that when there is a bracha given, it should be Yisimcha Elokim v'Chefraim v'Chemenashe. So this is the source, or quoted as a source, for the idea of giving blessing to children. However, you don't really see it very much in halachic literature until the time of the Achronim. It's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. It seems to be that it's only mentioned later. The source that everybody points to as the person who kind of brings this into the mainstream, even though there are some sources before it, is Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden lived in the early 1700s, Emden, famous are the Emden Eibeschitz controversy. His father is the Chacham Tzvi. He records that his father gave him a bracha, and he gave in the specific way he makes mention of. That he mentions it in a specific way, and it's quoted in his siddur, some of these halachos of doing it on Friday night. So what are some of the things that he mentions? So in his siddur, known as the Siddur Beis Yaakov, it's a pretty prominent source for Hilchos Tefillah and things of the like. If you look at it in Hebrew books, it's about 900 something pages. But he has the following. He has a couple ideas. Number one is that there is this bracha to have to give this. There is a halacha minug to give this bracha, and it goes either from the rabbanim or from or after tefillah or when you get home. I mean, either the rabbanim would give it at shul, or parents would give it at shul after davening, although I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that, or after you got home. The minug in my shul growing up was, at that time there were many children in shul, and you used to line up along the side, and during yigdal, so one kid would do yigdal, and everybody would walk up across the Bima, and Rabbi Krauss would give everybody a bracha. He was a Kohen, that adds something to it. As we'll see, there is some importance to that. So he was a Kohen, everybody got their bracha, you went and it's kind of set up like an arshul, that you go to the rabbi, you got your bracha, then you went to the Aaron and you kissed the paroches, then you walked down the other side, and of course waiting at the other side was the Candyman. And everyone got a lollipop. That was Minhag Hilchos. I don't think it continues to be Minhag Hilchos. That was Minhag Hilchos when I was growing up.
Friday night, yeah.
So there used to be a line. You used to go and line up all along the side of the shul in order to be able to go up and do those three important steps. So the other things that Rav Yaakov Emden comments on is that you would do it specifically with two hands. He specifically mentions that idea. That's important. We'll get to that shortly. He would say Yisimcha Elokim and Yivrech Hashem v'yishmerecha. There's a similar bracha by the Birchas Kohen. It says, "Ko tavarchu es b'nei Yisrael, so too shall you give the bracha to b'nei Yisrael." So those are the two psukim mentioned in the Torah explicitly as brachos that should be given to b'nei Yisrael. So that's sort of how the custom became. That you say, "Simcha kim chayim menashe," and the Birchas Kohenim. And the Rav Yaakov Emden concludes by saying, and you don't have to limit it to just that. One can add on various other things as well. You can add on any specific wishes that a person has. So you could do that. You could do that as well. There is. So I was going to get to that a little bit later, but we'll just mention it right now, that our minhag is when we bless the bracha to the girls is that we say Yisimcha Elokim Kesar Rivka Racha V'Leah. Now there's no pasuk in the Torah that says Yisimcha Elokim Kesar Rivka Racha V'Leah. So in the Sefer Rivos Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, so he has in volume Vav, volume Chelek Vav, Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, Sif Katan Tes Zayin. Simen Kuf Nun Gimel is divided up into, let's see, there's 23 different subchapters here, all dealing with something else. So he has one little subchapter, Birchas Abanim Beleil Shabbos Kodesh, and he mentions pretty much what we just said, but at the end he concludes by saying, Uvibanim Mevarchim Misimcha, Kefraim Mechem Asher, Uvibanos Kesar Rivka Rachav Aleya, Umadua Lo Bibanos Vanashim Shel Ephraim Menashe. So why by Banos do we not say Ephraim and Menashe? It happens to be that Ephraim and Menashe happened to be male, but okay, the bracha is to be given like Ephraim and Menashe. Vimavarchim Mishim Imos. And if we do the girls by the mothers, Madula Mavarchim Shema Avos. So maybe we should also give the bracha in the name of the fathers. I mean, what's the difference? Why specifically do we line up the mothers with the girls? So he just raises that as a question. It's unclear how that source developed, where that came from, how that source developed, and why it's done that way. But that I don't think I've ever heard of anybody that attempts to have a question on that minug. Now, there is a comment that the Sforno has also about Birchas Abanim, something, I don't know if we learned this specific Sforno, but it shows up at the very end of Parshas Vayetze. At the very end of Parshas Vayetze, what's happening at that point? Lavan chases after Yaakov, and then they finally meet up, and Yaakov's like, well, I had to run away. Lavan's like, well, what? I just wanted to give my kids a bracha. Oh. That's interesting. So the Sforno comments on that pasuk that he that Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph Vayeshkeim Lavan Baboker Vayinashik Levanav Ulevnosav Vayvarechasem Vayelach Vayashav Lavan Limkomo. And he gave them, he kissed them to his sons and his daughters Vayvarechasem, and he gave them a bracha. So what is that? So the Sforno comments Kvar Amru Alti Birchas Hedyut Kalabei Necha. There is a Gemara in Maseches Megillah that says that the bracha of even the bracha of a simple person shouldn't be light in your eyes. Sipir Birkas Lavanul Nosav, it tells us this story to remind us to give it that the brachas of the father is important to give to the child. Right, that's why that's mentioned in the Torah explicitly, to mention that idea that a parent is supposed to give a bracha to their child. There are over the years, I have a couple of sources here that Rabbi Josh Fluke provided. So there are, over the years, a couple who have raised issues with the idea of doing it every Friday night. So if it's done every Friday night, so then it becomes a little bit like rote. So he quotes from the Sefer, I don't know how he got these sources, but from the Menachem Tzion, he quotes a source that's very important, this bracha, and it shouldn't be done every Friday night, because it's just not should do it all the time. And we see that Yitzchak didn't do it all the time. Yitzchak gave a bracha at a specific point when he finally brought Yaakov Esav. We only have a recording of him doing it once. We don't have a recording of him doing it all the time. And we only have a recording of Yaakov doing it once. We don't have a recording of him doing it all the time. So he suggests that maybe it shouldn't be done as often. He quotes as well here from a Sefer Shar HaMelech who comments that the bracha from Avra to the bracha to Ephraim and Menashe specifically took place on Erev Yom Kippur, and we have that minhag. If you look in the Machzer, so there it's mentioned there, the idea of Birchas Abanim, and there's an extra paragraph that's there of the one thing that I want from, if I could have anything, I want you to be a Yirei Shemayim and to be Ohev Yom Mitzvos, and that's specifically something that's given on an Erev Yom Kippur, the idea being that that's a very important time, and rather than doing it every week, we do it at that specific time to lend more emphasis to it.
Is there an alternate blessing that he would recommend rather than the Birchas Kohanim?
No. It seems like these people that I'm quoting say to do it, less often than once a week. I think what the kind of makes a distinction is personally, I do it every week. But on Yom Kippur, you say this extra thing and you read the words for it. It's a pretty powerful tefillah. I remember many already in the 90s, Rabbi Friend gave a tshuva drasha, right? And I think I pointed out they were on cassettes then, so they weren't so easy to get a hold of. But I remember listening to one where he spells the entire thing was leading up to the idea of Berachas Habanim. That tefillah, I mean, what do you want to tell your children? What is the one thing that you want your life to mean? So he said, if you have trouble formulating it, so take a look at that tefillah, and you get a pretty good idea of how one formulates one's last will and testament. And you know, one person should do that before Yom Kippur. He records that. I don't remember if he said his father or somebody that he would give that bracha, and then he wouldn't say anything, and then he would stop speaking until he got to Yom Kippur. You know, until davening was over Yom Kippur night. I mean, that was like the beginning of Yom Kippur begins at that moment. So he has this interesting cheshbon here that from the Sefer Shar HaMelech, that the bracha that Yaakov gave to Ephraim and Menashe was on Erev Yom Kippur. How did he figure that out? So obvious. When did Yaakov die? Do we know what Yaakov's yahrzeit is? So obviously Yaakov died during Chodesh Tishrei because he was born during Chodesh Tishrei, because all these people were born during Chodesh Tishrei, because we have a tradition that the mothers, right, that they davened during Tishrei in order to have children, and they then would have children a year later, right? That we, even though we make reference to that in our Rosh Hashanah davening, although it's unclear that it specifically they were born then, but that's A. The second idea that he has is that everybody knows that tzaddikim pass away in the same month that they were born in, right? That's the second idea. And then the third idea is that Yaakov probably died on the first day of Sukkot. I'm not sure how he got to that point, but probably they died on Rosh Sukkot. And we also know that Yaakov is the first person to get sick before he died. That Yaakov made a request that he's not the first one to get sick, but he was the first person to get sick as a prelude to a person passing away. And that was a specific request that Yaakov had, that I want to be able to have, I want to know that my time is coming to a close, so I'll be able to get my affairs in order. So how long was Yaakov sick for? So one should presume that he was sick for 7 days. That's probably the assumption. And when he got sick, the message came to Yosef. Yosef immediately said, I better get up right away. So of course Yosef went right away to see his father. So if Yaakov passed away on the first day of Sukkot, and you trace that back 7 days previously, 7 days before the first day of Sukkot is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Kippur is the 10th. Erev Kippur is the 9th. Sukkot is the 15th, but that's one of the 7 days. Right? So that's how he cheshmed it out. So the bracha that was given from Yaakov to Ephraim and Asher took place on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay. What do you mean? Yeah, this has become a minhag that Kohanim give brachas. You see it at weddings sometimes, that the Kohen will give a bracha. I'm not sure where the source of that is. It might be from the same as this.
It's not routine at that point. That's a unique event.
Right, the event is unique, but the bracha is routine.
Right,
so how do you...
It's not like every Friday night.
Yeah. Right, but it's if it's done every Friday night, then the bracha at a pinyan event becomes routine. The bracha at a wedding then becomes routine. Okay, so there is a so how does one do this bracha that's given to the children? So we put the hands. So do we put one hand or two hands? So if we want to get to the halachic controversy of the issue of brachas habanim, so that's where it lies. When one gives a bracha to one's child, should you use your hands? And if you use your hands, do you use one hand or do you use two hands? So
if you're a Kohen and one if you're not.
So Len immediately jumps to the possibly the conclusion. Well, Kohen could do two and everybody else could do one. So let's backtrack a little bit. Part of the bracha that a Kohen gives, part of the mitzvah, in fact, what it's called, the Birkas HaKohanim, is also known as Nesias Kapayim. In Shulchan Aruch, it's known as Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, the raising of one's hands. So when the Kohen gives a bracha, the Kohen is supposed to raise both of his hands. In fact, that's a ma'akiv. It's a necessary part of the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the Kohen raises his hands, so whenever one gives a bracha to one's child, you should raise your hands as well. That's the mode of giving a bracha, is to raise both of one's hands. And he points to And then he points to a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos talks about the Malachim, that Gemara about the Malachim coming to the house and seeing that everything is set up, and you have the good Malach and the bad Malach, and everything's set up. The good Malach says, ah, Baruch Hashem, it should be this way next week. And if it's not set up, so the bad Malach says it should be this way next week. Right, so that Gemara also comments that when they see that the thing, that the table is set and that the candles are lit, so the Malach raises his hands and gives a bracha to the Balabais. He gives a bracha to the people by raising his hands, by both of his hands. So if you have and says, ah, you see, the mode of bracha is supposed to be with two hands. And then he, right, so Birchas Kohanim, the idea of the Malach giving the bracha, and he also comments that was the minhag of my father. The chen haya minhag avi mori hagon, right, he's referring to the Chacham Tzvi, v'lo kechasrei da shechoshim sheish kpeda levarach dafka biyad alef, and not based on those lacking in knowledge that think that there is a hakpada of only putting one, of only using one hand, v'sod hayadayim lebracha gadol, and the idea of the sod, the secret of using two hands, is big, meaning it's a big yisod, sod is a secret, but what do you call it, al-pi-sod, there's an idea that one should use both of one's hands for the purpose of this bracha. Okay. So the chasrei das are the ones who use one hand, but really one should use two hands. So including
my friend here, though. I can't memorize anything.
Okay. So who exactly would be these chasrei das? So the Rav Emden was not, because he lived, I think their lives overlapped a little bit, but the most famous person to use only one hand was the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon used only one hand. And the story is told in Sefer Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima was written much later, but he says, I heard from the Gedolim. I heard the story from reliable sources that at the Nodip Yehuda's wedding, so I feel very comfortable, I'm a descendant of the Nodib Yehuda, so at the Nodib Yehuda's wedding, he got a bracha from the Vilna Gaon. It's unclear whether the Vilna Gaon was, well, Nodib Yehuda was older than the Vilna Gaon, I think. No, maybe not. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. I believe he was actually a little older than the Vilna Gaon, but for some reason the Vilna Gaon gave the Nodib Yehuda Ibracha. Sounds like by the Chuppah, let's see. Vilna Berach Es Ha Gaon Rav Yecheskel Landau in Vilna. B'shas chupasu v'niach yado achas al rosh agon Rabbi Cheskel b'shas abracha. And he put one hand on the head of Rabbi Cheskel during the time of the bracha. V'shalu al kacha. And they asked him about this. Not sure if the Nodib Yehuda asked him or someone else asked him, but they asked him about this. V'heishiv, and he responded, ki lo matzinu bircha b'shtei yadayim rak l'koinim b'mikdash. We only find that you can give that, the only person that gives a bracha with two brachas is the koin in the mikdash. Now, it's not just koinim in the mikdash, it's also koinim outside the mikdash. I mean, bar brachas koinim is done with two hands. That's the only time that you see it. But besides that, I don't see it, and I never heard that anybody does it. That is a wonderful ha'ara. And it's difficult to say, so how could one answer that? I mean, what's the Vilna Gaon referring to? Just to give a little bit of a hesper, what's his problem? So his problem is that we have something called Birkas Kohanim, and for a non-Kohen, I mean, this is the way that Kohanim are supposed to give the bracha. So for a non-Kohen to give the bracha in such a fashion would be what we call an Isser Aseh, would be a violation of the positive mitzvah, meaning you're deflecting, you're doing the mitzvah Aseh in a wrong way, so that is a negative performance of a positive mitzvah. So that's problematic. So how does one avoid this? So one could say, well, you're not doing Birchas Kohanim. The problem is for a non-Kohen to do Birchas Kohanim. For a non-Kohen to get up on the Bima on Yantif and to do it along with Kohanim, that's the problem. But here you're doing Birchas Kohanim. Who says you're doing Birchas Kohanim? Maybe Birchas Kohanim is only when you have a congregation, you only have, they're doing Devar Shivik Dusha, and that's the problem. But to do it privately like this, maybe it's not a problem. But says Tor Tamima, that's a difficult statement to make, right? That's hard to say. Who says that that's the only way to do the mitzvah? So the grow is makbet to only do it with one hand. There is a so you should use your right hand, and I noticed. for the bracha. Right, so you would hold the sitter with the left hand, you would use your right hand for the bracha, and the, what if you're a lefty? That's always the next kasha that comes up. What about if you're a lefty? So I saw somebody gave a halacha sheet in online, and he quoted a source saying that a lefty would also use it with the right hand. Meaning the yesod, when does a lefty switch hands, when does he not switch hands? So generally when it's alpinigla, he uses his stronger hand, and when it's alpinister, when it's alpinigla is the revealed Torah versus alpinister is based on Kabbalistic sources, so then he uses his right hand even if he's a lefty. So this is apparently based on Kabbalistic sources, therefore you should use the right hand over the left hand.
Not try to split your fingers or anything.
What? So should one split the fingers? I noticed he made a comment there also that you shouldn't do that. Nobody, you should only a kohen should do that at the time of the bracha. You shouldn't try to split your fingers either. And then Yisrael should make the practice of not doing that unless they're doing it for the purpose of Talmud Torah, or unless they're trying to get beamed up to whatever. Yeah, so just a little bit more on that idea. So this is somewhat discussed in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim. It's the second chelik of Mishnah Berurah. That's where the Hilchos Nesias Kapayim are found. So there is a Beir Halacha there that discusses this a little bit. First, the Mishnah Berurah makes a comment that that the prohibition that a czar shouldn't raise both of his hands. So one can make a point that, oh, but a czar could raise only one of his hands, and therefore maybe the Mishnah Berurah is also on the side of using one hand. But he does, in the Beir Halacha, raise this issue that how does one get around this problem of people of a non-Kohen raising both of their hands, implying that people do it with both of their hands. So he says one of two possible, and he says, well, you could say that the problem is only during Tefillah, but then he points out that, yeah, but the idea that Birchas HaKohanim is done in the context of Tefillah is only Din D'Rabbanan. On a level of the Oraisa, it doesn't need the context of Tefillah. It could be done separately from the context of Tefillah. So the Beir Halacha says, so how does that work? So he gives two possibilities. Number one is, this perhaps is a source for the idea of mitzvah strichas kavana, that there's this ongoing dispute through Shulchan Aruch. It's unclear how Shulchan Aruch itself holds on this matter. Does the mitzvah require kavana to accomplish the mitzvah, or do you not require kavana, and if you do it, you fulfill the mitzvah? So maybe this is a source for the idea of mitzvah strichas kavana, that you only violate the prohibition of a non-Kohen doing Birchas Kohanim if he has in mind to do Birchas Kohanim. But if you just have a mind to give a bracha to one's child, so then you don't have in mind Birchas Kohanim, and maybe it's not a problem. The second possibility he has is that even though on a Torah level one could fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim outside the context of Tefillah, that because it was established that that's the way we do Birchas Kohanim nowadays, that's the only context that one would violate the prohibition of a non-Kohen doing Birchas Kohanim. And because this isn't in the context of Tefillah, so one can avoid the problem. So that's the big machlokas, right? Rav Yaakov Emden is a big proponent of using both hands, and Al Pi Kabbalah it's very important to use both hands. The Vilna Gaon was very hesitant to use two hands. He suggests one should only use one hand. The Mishnah Berurah ends up in somewhat of a vague spot. I took a look in Dr. Daniel Sperber's book. He has a book Minhagei Yisrael. It has an 8 volume set Minhagei Yisrael Mikoros Vetoldos. So I just took a look in the index Birchas Habanim, and the only reference that he had is an article in volume 3 on page 199 Kafsadi Tess, where he discusses the title of the article is Makoma Shel HaKabbalah B'Minhag, meaning the place that Kabbalah has in our Minhagim. So he has one little paragraph on Birchas HaYeladim, Kosev Rabbi Shlomo Rokaka. Don't know who that is, but he tells you that he was a Makubal Italki B'Meya Hasheva Esrei in the 17th century, meaning the 1600s. So this predates Rav Yaakov Emden. Remember, Rav Yaakov Emden said, you use two hands, and whoever uses one hand is a Chasrei Das. So that tells you two things. Number one is, it sounds like people had that idea already. Meaning, if he's calling out people that are using one hand, it sounds like that source existed. So apparently,
what's a
chasrei das? Chasrei das is literally lacking knowledge. You know, it's an insult, right? So those people don't know what they're talking about. So maybe so Rabbi Dr. Sperber does bring down a source from this Rav Shlomo Rokaka. Now, just because there's a source for it doesn't mean that Rav Yaakov Emden didn't think that that was a chos rei das. But he does have the following idea. He says, "Vanachas hayad al rosh hakatan hu misbarech," that when you put the hand one hand on the head of a katan, you give the bracha, right? V'remez l'davar kiviyat ha'adam tesvav evarim, that in the hand of a person he has 15 evarim are ligaments. Now, truth is, a thumb only has two, but maybe you're. You have three, and then you only have two.
Times 4 is 12.
No. 3 times. Oh, wait a second.
Three.
I'm sorry. I know multiplication. No, 3 times 4 is 12, plus 2 is 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very interesting, because yad is 14.
Right, so it could be that your hand is then number 15. Right, maybe that's it. So you have 15. So b'yad adam tesvav yivarim k'minyan tesvav tevil sheva pasuk yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Then yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, yer Hashem panav yilecha v'yichunecha, yisad Hashem panav yilecha v'yisem l'cha shalom, 7, 3, 5. You do that addition, that also equals 15. So perhaps there is an idea of only using one hand for those brachos. Kolomar yachulu al roshcha habrachos shebishlosh p'sukim elu. As if we're saying, from those three psukim, those brachos should be on your head. So, the problem with that is well, wait a second, then a kohen should also raise one hand, and a kohen raises two hands. But, alright, either way, there is a source that, at least Dr. Sperber is able to dig up, that comes even before the time of the Vilna Gaon, before the time of Yaakov Emden, that had only giving the bracha with one hand, and not with two hands. Yes?
Is that what would say you have to one child at a time?
Rav Yaakov Emden actually makes a comment that you're going to ask me that Yaakov used one hand, right? One for Ephraim, one for Menashe. He says, well, that's because he had no choice. It was bad enough that he was using his right hand for Ephraim and left hand for Menashe. But if he would have said, okay, I'm going to do Ephraim first before Menashe, so then Yosef would have gotten totally upset, right? So, but really, you should only use you should use both of your hands. Now, does that then go to okay? Well. So the sense that you get from that is that it would be better to only do one kid at a time. Right, that's what you get. Meaning, ideally, you should get one kid at a time. It's just because in that situation, he was giving a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, and it would have led to issues between the two of them. So that's why he did the two of them at the same time. But if it wasn't for that particular circumstance, one, it sounds like one would then use only one at a time. Oh, so you're going to grandchildren, so then that's all right. I'm not passing it for granted. All right. Stop here.